Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise
God indeed. How great God is. Hope everyone's doing well. All of you watching online, welcome to First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. Just pull up your open, get your Bible out. Let's get ready to have the Word tonight and just sing and praise the Lord and have His message. Let's stand if we can. We're going to the Lord in prayer. Kind of few on numbers, but we know God is with us in all that we do. Praise the Lord. Anyone have a spoken prayer request tonight? Right. And I just want to say how, you know, there's so many songs, so many sayings, but you know, God is an on-time God. He knows what we need and when we need. We just want to praise His name. If you're watching online and you have a prayer request, please put it in the comments section. We'll be glad to pray with you. Because it's not any more than we can do than you can do, but we just lift it up to the Lord because it's all about Him. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Dear Lord, we just love and praise You. Lord, we thank You, dear Lord, for this beautiful day You've given us, dear Lord, for the wonderful blessings that You've bestowed on each and every one of us. Dear Lord, as we come together tonight, dear Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord. Lord, ready to receive Your Word, dear Lord, ready to praise and worship You. Lord, we just love You and we want to say thank You. Thank You for loving us. Lord, thank You for caring about us, dear Lord. Thank You for mending the situations that are being brought forth to You tonight. Dear Lord, as we bring the prayer requests, those spoken and unspoken, dear Lord, we know those that have lost loved ones, those that have relatives or friends in the hospitals, dear Lord, those that are seeking You right now, dear Lord, that need You for healing, for touch, dear Lord. We ask You to mend families, dear Lord. We ask You to put that back together. Lord, we ask for Your blessings to be on our children, dear Lord, just to completely touch them. And we ask You to bless the young people in their class outside and the little ones in their class, dear Lord, and we just love You. Lord, we ask You just to receive this praise and worship, just to glorify You. Dear Lord, we thank You for all that You do. Lord, we ask You to bless our pastor, strengthen him and his family. And Lord, we just give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. We're going to give Him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. While you're standing, we're going to go to page 57. Amazing grace. The Lord's been on my heart all day long today. He stepped in where I needed Him, and I know He's healing. I know He's touching. And we're going to do Amazing Grace. Praise the Lord.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves.
With us.
Praise God, 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 praise God. One more time. Praise God, 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 hallelujah, Lord. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. But before we do, I just want to look back at this song just for a minute. You know, we talk about praise and worship, and even in the Bible and in Psalms, it talks about praising with hi-hats, praising with cymbals, praising with horns, praising with dance. So many places. I've never really looked up how many times it talks about praising the Lord. But as we were singing that at the end, it made me think about it. Because I don't think there's anyone that, in my walk, I can't say anything differently, except I can only thank God for all that He's done in my life. And I know we're still striving to be what, I'm still striving to be what I feel like the Lord wants me to be, but my salvation and my walk, my salvation has nothing to do with anything, receiving Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, because He's paid the price in full. And as we read this tonight, I think it's in the first verse, it says, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, and now I see. As time goes on and we look back at our life, I hope always the testimony that I could only give anybody is how great He is and what He's done for me. Because being blind, and not even to the point... You know, we all have that moment, and the Lord checks us. But as we receive Him as our Spirit, let Him just guide us and check us. And He's opened up my eyes to see things that you don't need to be watching this, you don't need to be doing that. Maybe, Jim, get away from there. I just thank the Lord for that. And being lost, not just struggling in the dark, and then that light comes in, which is Jesus Christ. He is the light of this world. It's just so powerful. I'm sorry, I just had to say that. I'm in a good mood. I had a good procedure this morning, or I feel like it is, once we get over it. God's healing. But we just love the Lord. Hope everyone of you do. Anybody watching online, today's the day. If you haven't given your life to the Lord, or you're curious about what you can do, first thing you can do is just cry out to Jesus. And He'll show you exactly what you need to do, and as far as receiving Him, and that, just to be completely honest and just tell God, you got to take this. I can't handle it anymore. And just let Him lead your life and be saved. Praise the Lord. That was me. I'll hush. Praise God. But I love the Lord and I can't stop. We're going to take up the evening offering, as I said earlier. Susan is singing. Brother Jim, don't want to catch you shorthand. I know you just walked in. You got a song or a hymn you could do. Go ahead, Brother Jim. Ask the Lord to bless. Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you.
If your mind is filled with doubt, your life turned and tossed about, just cry, Jesus. Just cry, Jesus. He'll relieve your mind of doubt and save your soul from Satan's trap. Just cry, Jesus. Just cry, Jesus. Just cry, Jesus. If you have a need today, just cry, Jesus. And the angels are on their way. Just cry, Jesus, till the bells of glory sound. Just cry, Jesus, and all heaven will surely come down. If you feel your guilt and shame for a world you've tried to gain, just cry, Jesus. Just cry, Jesus. He'll take all your shame away and show to you a better way. Just cry, Jesus. Just cry, Jesus. Just cry, Jesus. If you have a need today, just cry, Jesus. And the angels are on their way. Just cry, Jesus, till the bells of glory sound. Just cry, Jesus, and all heaven will surely come down.
Amen.
Manna from above, Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand, with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord?
Aren't you glad he's always there? No matter what the need is, no matter what the time, day or night, he's always there. I never shall forget the day. There's a song that says, I can take you the place, I can tell you the time, something like that. Exactly what the Lord saved me. I still know it. What church in Rockmore, Georgia, I can just about, if that church is still there, I can just about take you and put you within 6 inches of where I knelt down at the altar that night. That was a wonderful, wonderful experience. Long years ago, went out and sin. I had no hope, no peace within. Down on my knees, in agony, I prayed to Jesus and he gladly set me free. Well, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens from my soul rolled.
Just hop me by.
never shall forget the day when all the burdens from my soul roll away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for He's everything to me. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens from my soul roll away. Everything to me.
God is good. I thank Him for His healing power. And you know, His healing power exists 24/7. And I'm just glad He touched me.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, the Bible says. Go with us to the book of Proverbs tonight. We're going to be reading a passage of Scripture, and then we're going to cut the live stream, and we're going to have a Bible study and hopefully get some input. When you're having live stream, you can't really hear what the other people are saying, so we're just going to bypass the live stream after the reading of the Scripture. Hopefully opening it up for some back and forth input on this particular chapter and verse that Solomon wrote concerning the characteristics of the wicked. I believe that we're seeing that actually come to pass today. So many of the things that he saw and witnessed back in the time of writing is being unfolded before our very eyes. So it's Proverbs chapter number 6, verses 16 through 19. The writer said, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your abounding grace. God, for this day and this opportunity and the desire that you've given us to gather here tonight. Father, I pray your blessing upon each and every one that's here tonight. Help us, Lord, be in one mind and one accord. God, receptive and submissive and obedient to your word, to your will. Father, I pray that you would cause us to grow spiritually. God, that you would just entrust your spirit within us to lead us and guide us each and every day of our life, to make the right decisions, God, to let your light shine in our lives so others may see the glorious salvation that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for each and every one. Father, help us be a living, breathing ambassador for your goodness and mercy. We'll give you praise and honor and glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hopefully tonight we can get some back and forth, some input on this. Before we get into the six, or actually seven, you're going to see me refer to that again, because that's the way that the writer said. He said these six things, actually seven things that God hated. And really, that's a strong word saying that God hates, because we talk about God as a God of love, and certainly He is. So whether or not, most notably, or probably, it was Solomon writing these things, whether or not he felt these were the things that God despised or hated, or whether the Spirit of God moved on him to write these certain things that is displeasing or hateful. I'll use the term hateful to God. Either way, it's in the Bible, and I think that the data there, the topic matter itself, we can all agree that those are things that we shouldn't be a part of and need to avoid.
And if we had to text it tonight, it was going to be avoid this list. These are some of the things that you do not want incorporated in your life. You want to shy away from or stay away from this list. Now, in the fourth chapter, along the same topic, we find that he writes in verse number 14. This is of the fourth verse or the fourth chapter, and he encourages us, or the readers. He says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men." And then verse number 15. This is where this came to be. It said, "Avoid it." In other words, have no part of it. Not only avoid it, but pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away or pass on. Talking about the path of the wicked. Don't be as the others. Don't follow in those footsteps. "For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." And I thought it was so profound that he was writing these things that long ago, and we're seeing those things unfold before our very eyes today. We've often made the statement, in fact, I think I make it probably more times than not, that people who have, our past generations, would not recognize the world today as it was in their time. They would be totally overwhelmed and perplexed to see the things that are going on. And it's come on over a slow period of time, because that's the way the devil brings things on. He just starts a little at a time. He doesn't just kind of change everything overnight. And this hasn't changed overnight, is the things that we're talking about here. But these are things that the writer said, you know, they're hateful to God. Now, we understand that here the writer probably begins to describe the wicked man and what will be the end. In fact, it says just above that, he said a naughty person, this is in verse number 11, or verse number 12 of chapter 6, he says a naughty person or an evil person or wicked man walketh in a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is his in his heart, or mischief or evil, or constantly striving to do bad. He soweth discord, therefore shall his calamity come suddenly, suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. So basically he's describing the wicked man and what will be the end result of his life if it is unchanged. Now, even if these things pertain to us over the period of time and then salvation has come into our life, that's a very different story. But what the writer here is talking about, those that continue in this lifestyle, those that continue to do the things that are on this list and have no conscience of it and have no repentant heart of it and basically just do it because it's a part of who they are and part of what they are now. And we're seeing that more and more. We're seeing a lot of violence, we're seeing a lot of evil, a lot of ungodliness, we're seeing a lot of things in the world today that's coming to pass, but yet that should even make the light of the church shine brighter, because the path of the just is as a shining light. So the more that these things begin to be prevalent in the world, actually the more the church should shine, if I read that correctly, because we're shining the light of Jesus Christ and shining the light of salvation in our heart and in our life in a wicked and an adulterous situation or idolatrous situation in the world today, where people have put other gods before the true God. So it should be more of a contrast today than it even was in generations past. Because if you heard granddaddies and grandmothers talk about the way that it used to be, even if people didn't profess Christianity, they treated one another right. Neighbors helped neighbors, and they stepped in. And I even heard about that, if one was sick and laid up, the neighbors would come in and help them plow the fields and help them gather the harvest. And, you know, today we don't see a lot of that. We'll see some maybe handout or help a little bit, but, they was doing that on a constant basis. And from what I understand, sometimes they wasn't Christian, they wasn't practicing church, but they just had the goodness of their heart. It doesn't mean that saves them now. It doesn't mean that is salvation. But it's a different world now. It's kind of a man-eating world or a dog-eat-dog world, and kind of man's own involved for his own self other than others. So these are the things that's coming about now. And he said, these six things does the Lord hate. These are hateful things in the eyes of the Lord. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. The first of one that he mentions is a proud look. Now, that goes, if you read that, that goes much further than just taking pride in your appearance. Hopefully, you know, each and every one of us takes pride in their appearance, I mean, somewhat. But this is not really pertaining so much to the outward as it is to the personality of the person or to their intent. And basically, it means that one who is better than others. And the word today that bought is, and basically, what do you think about when they describe a group of people as elitists or elite? We are at the last frame, right? So y'all feel free to stop. But I think they're up there. They're haughty, yeah, snobbish. Mindset that are certain people are beneath. You know, they use things like unlearned, old-fashioned, probably a lot more offensive than that. But, you know, God doesn't like that. According to this, he does not like that proud look. He does not like that person. The poorest and probably grungiest folks around, and he, you know, associated with them. But he was also there at 12 years old in the temple with the lawyers and the doctors and all of that too. So he didn't think himself in time. Born in a came in humble surroundings. So a proud look, and y'all have got it, you know, haughty, but it basically esteeming oneself better than others. Okay, what were that in the Bible? Where was that? One was praying. The word said, I don't have anything. I'm just, it's just me. But the other person out loud vocally telling everybody and God how good. So God doesn't like the proud look. He doesn't like when we esteem himself better than others. And unfortunately, we are seeing that today. Now, probably in our lifetime, we've seen a little bit of that, but it wasn't so much that you actually looked down on people. Just saw that there were people that maybe wasn't as blessed and that. And, you know, but God doesn't place value on what a person has or where they live or what background or what family. Doesn't. He places emphasis on the soul. I mean, if he only died for the rich, you know, I'd be out of it. He only died for the good looking. I sure would be out of it, you know. But thank God he said it's for you, your children's children, for all. Man. So we don't need a proud look. The second thing that the writer saw, and, you know, I've often thought about Solomon. I'm thinking when he wrote these things, I'm wondering if he just went up and down the street and had these, you know, was thinking of all of these things. Because some of the things written is very profound. I mean, he was known for his wisdom, and that's basically what he asked God for. God was going to award him for his submissiveness and obedience, and he said, "I want wisdom enough to govern." God was so pleased with that that not only did he bless him with great wisdom and knowledge, but he blessed him with things he didn't even ask for that God just poured out on him because prayer pleased him. So he would look and see these things, and he would write these things down, you know, things that he noticed. And evidently he was a people watcher, able to watch and groups of people, how they reacted, how they lived their life. The second thing that he says that the Lord does not like or is hateful to him is a lying tongue. That's pretty much self-explanatory. You've heard all of your life, you know, and they've even sang songs, there'll be no liars there. And lying tongue, basically, I think it gets to a person where they're so comfortable. Stretched out of sorts. But, you know, if you stretch it to the point where they're unrecognizable, you really have to call it a lie. It's not in its original format. So God doesn't want anybody, especially the children of God, and this is something that we should avoid. We should pass not by it, but just keep on going and not be a part of this. Even if somebody tells us something, I know that we're human and we're prone to sometimes, you know, share things that we've heard, but if it has not been proven, if it has not been validated, if you're certain of it yourself, if it came from him, we need to be real that because lives could be affected by friendship. It could really mess up a situation. I don't know. Again, we're not live streaming, but it's kind of a show. Ever had anybody that it happens, doesn't it? And how do we handle that? First of all, hope that the people who are told have trust and faith in you to believe that couldn't be true. And what hurts is if they never come to you and ask you if that was true, they just take it. Well, they say. And people, I don't think, stop to think how bad that hurts their character, certainly hurts their spirit, and it hurts if it cuts those cords of a relationship. Difficult. Yeah. So a lying tongue is never an appropriate thing to do. So God says these are hateful in his eyes, a proud look and the lying tongue. Certainly, then he goes on, the hands that shed innocent blood. Now, the way that he words that, you know, and I was thinking, you know, how about hands that shed any blood? Because whether it be innocent blood or not, murder, things like that, you can't differentiate and say, and I know the legal system does. Y'all help me out there. I know that but shedding blood in any way, you know, but with the first, second, or third degree murder, you know, that's got to be. That's a good point, yeah. Not actually shed dripping blood, but salvation blood, are you? Well, we can even get more explicit than that and say lies have been told that caused people to the church and give up on God. You know, it's hurt them that bad because, and another, that's another common thing that sometimes has been. You know, and that comes out. And that's, evidently, that's not an easy thing to get over because. Hey, it won't have any church affiliation whatsoever because they hurt in church. And that's unfortunate. That's terrible. Well, it's bad to be hurt anyway, you know, if you think about it. Especially church. But then you try to tell them, well, you can't judge everybody in the church by maybe one or something. Throw everybody because you got hurt in a church or a situation. But you're right, the tongue, and as the Bible says, it can cause innocent blood. Had him on. So hands that shed innocent blood. The next one is a heart that deviseth wicked and evil thoughts or plans. And we know God is against evil. But here Solomon saw a group of people or certain people were constantly imagining, devising evil thoughts and plans. Not only in the act of committing them, but already planning. You know, we're seeing some of that right now. Without getting too much into the current events, but when we see these unrest and these peaceful demonstrations with the burning and the looting in the background, we find out that many times they're already planning another. And you know, I see all these things, and I see the things that are happening today, and you know, I'm so thankful that there's a scripture in the birth in the ways are higher. Because in my mind, I would think that God would be just pretty upset at the things that are going on. But again, that's how great His mercy. And that's how wonderful His forgiveness. Even things that are transpiring and going on in the world today, if they would change their heart, come with an open and a confessing spirit. Lord loves us. But in my mind, which is a finite mind, I'm only human, thinking, it's rampant. I mean, the proud look, the lying tongue, the hands that shed innocent blood, the heart that deviseth wicked and evil thoughts and plans, those things are constantly going on right now. We see them every day. We hear about them. Some of the things we don't even hear about and know about that are happening right around us. If you ever have a chance to talk to an officer, and if they'll ever open up to you, there's a lot of things that goes on after we go to bed at night, right here in this general area. So, that's hateful to God, a heart that deviseth wicked and evil thoughts and plans. And the next one says, feet running swiftly to mischief. I'll use a really rough analogy. Well, maybe. When there's several dogs fighting and one gets hurt, like they all other dogs jump on that dog. Even dogs that wasn't even involved, and then they start running to it. You know, we're seeing that in humanity, seeing how people are so ready on somebody, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, blackball. I mean, they're quick to believe that them under the bus, so to speak, and kind of jump on them with all feet. So their feet running swiftly to mischief and evil. Seemingly, that's all that they're about. And I know that government and judicial things have pretty much contributed to some of that. I mean, you know, we kind of grew up, you did the crime, you did the time. Sort of got away from that now. You did the crime, you're back out on the street, given an opportunity to do again. And You know, I believe in, you know, giving people a fair chance, and I believe in trying to help people. But, you know, it seems like today the same groups of people are doing the same thing over and over and over. Feet running swiftly to mischief and evil. These are things that are hateful in God's eyes. And then he goes on to say a false witness, which goes hand in hand with a lying tongue. And, you know, when I say the lying tongue, I'm thinking about somebody who is a compulsive. I mean, you know, what's the saying? How do you know when they're lying when their lips are moving? That kind of thing. They just know that. People around them know that. But a false witness basically is one that's breathing out lies, even under oath, even knowing that what they're saying is lying. And that, you know, that's a false witness. And that even gets into false prophets. And anybody, the Bible says, though an angel from heaven come teaching or preaching anything different than why? I believe that gets be able to believe a lie and be damned. That even gets in the realm of lying if Christ even out on the cross, Calvary, and all of that plays into kind of a false witness, one that's constantly breathing out lies, even under oath. And then finally, those are the six things, but then he says, yea, seven. And the seventh thing, one that sows discord among brethren. And I often wonder why he said there's six rather than seven. In my mind, I'm wondering, not as bad. I don't know. I don't know why he worded it like that. But he includes, maybe he just happened to think of that after he listed the first six. But he says, one who sows discord among the brethren. Now, what do we mean by sowing discord? Sure, it could be lies, rumors. It could be, even if it's not lies, just, you know what so-and-so said. It could be the truth. Be the truth. I'm going to tell you something in total secret. And next thing you know, and you know, I've heard that. I'm going to tell you this, but if it comes back around, I didn't say it. No, that's kind of sowing discord. And I think others are so blatant. I mean, I think we can all agree that we understand why they're hateful to God. And this one, there's no such thing as a gray area in God's. It's right, it's wrong, it's dark, it's light, it's righteous, it's unrighteous, it's evil, it's good. The way God sees things. No kind of middle of the road. Not fence. In, up, dark. So the gray area thing, you know, I don't think that's a good excuse or one that will stand up or hold up on judgment. God, but one who sows discord among the brethren could, in fact, that person that's what we guard. Remember the song? Kids will be careful. Here's what you do. There's a father up above. Off that. And sometimes. Oh, me. I think that's the reason he said these six things God hate. Yea, seven is abomination. Not all, not this. Is one who sows discord. And he mentioned among the brethren, meaning the church, tearing the church up or tearing the church or whatever it is. And, you know, maybe it didn't start from that person. Maybe they heard it. You know, there used to be a kind of a saying, well, if it doesn't benefit the person, beneficial, detrimental, farther. If it builds the person up or if it's beneficial to the person, then certainly we can share that. But I want to just kind of bring those out tonight. And I really was going to do it in the form of a message, but a little discouraging when there's just thought it may be tonight we just opened up. So, can anybody add to that? Share with us anything that you thought of or when you. It's not good to do any work, especially in the house of God, and especially among brethren. And to bring that down in the modern day. You're right. They'll judge the entire church body by actions. Yeah, the elite. They're already. Yeah, that's caused a lot of issues. And two, you know, we're quick to point out the busybody as far as the tongue. I thought you was going to bring up, but the other point of that is the one who listens. One who listens to that and really quick to hear and wants to hear that kind of thing. Because that's encouraging, that one. You know, the way to stop that is, so many times, you know, that person or whatever it is, then we. Stop it like that. What? I don't think we need to talk about that. You know, that we need to pray for them. That's a good answer, by the way. We need to pray for them. That was Granny's answer. Granny Allen, we need to pray right now. Not next Sunday or not there. We just need to pray. That's a great attitude, by the way. Prayer changes a lot of things. Anybody else? Can we understand why those are hateful to God? But you know what? There's hope even for those who practice. Out the grace of God. His ability. Far in advance. With a broken spirit, and we're service. God will have right. Absolutely. And they all walked away. Dropped their rock. Bless you. Appreciate y'all. Y'all realize if y'all wouldn't come, nobody would be. But y'all came. And I appreciate it so much. I love you. All right. Anybody need prayer tonight? Didn't know that. I saw where Tracy did. Evidently, COVID's ugly head again. And hopefully and prayerfully that the not as highly contagious. You know what? We probably still need to wash our hands. You know how, I really got conscious of washing my hands and anytime I touched him. Good old soap and water killed me. And I still I'm a proponent of alcohol. Not to drink it, but I will douse my hands in alcohol. You did cut that live stream, didn't you, bro? All right.